Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show. Starring.
I'm here for it, Brock.
I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
It's $5,000.
$5,000.
And so you get your nipples extended.
Okay. You would not have a problem because your nipples are always.
They're always around.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen.
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
It would make it a bit plumper. Oh. I think you would actually get a little bit more girth.
Because they actually have it now where you can get Botox to your junk. It makes it plumper.
All right.
Fuller.
Joined by the relationship alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
This man has a plan. The Pennsylvania Railroad, which serves as a power card in Monopoly, has a station in Altoona. It was not random. So it's tying in where
What are you talking about?
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shiny. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
They're aliens. They can do whatever.
Are you a non-believer?
No, I believe there's extraterrestrial life, but I do not believe in any way, shape, or form this is an alien attack. Okay, they would have just attacked instead of just flying little drones around.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passive judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of... You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill!
Go!
Greg Hill!
Show!
All right. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Good morning.
Season's greetings.
What is up? It's a great day.
In which way?
Pick a sport.
Oh, well, Red Sox are back in business.
Yep.
Red Sox are open for business.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Curtis.
Not financially.
What do you mean financially? I mean, I'm...
This kid's pretty good from what I hear.
I mean, it's great. I love it.
They still haven't spent any money.
Right.
Yeah. Curtis. Yeah, I agree with Curtis. I would like them to add... One more big name, whoever remains out there.
Okay, Oscar Hernandez, Corbin Burns would be a phenomenal backup, and then maybe a Bregman would be great. I like Bregman. He's kind of a dink, but he'd be our dink.
Yeah, I mean, if you are able to get Burns, then
you got two aces.
You have two aces, and I think that gives you a legit chance to win the division. So
yes, I mean, everybody knows playing poker when you got two aces, you are the favorite.
That is true, Iggy.
Well done.
But certainly, you're right, Curtis. They missed on a couple biggies when it came to spending because they weren't willing to spend. So the question remains: Are they going to sit there and think that they did enough via the Garrett Crochet trade, and that they don't have to do anything else significant?
And I love it. And Wiggy, you look great today, not just in physically, but in your predictions.
Appreciate it.
But it does bother me that the guy they fired is the reason they were able to get this guy in here. In other words, they restocked their farm system thanks to Heim Bloom. They used those guys to get an ace, and now it's like Breslow taking a victory lap. But either way, if the Red Sox being good, good for us. So hopefully it continues.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly was, when it came to what was out there and left, was the gem of the whole thing. So, and seems like he's a guy who had no issues coming here and he didn't have a choice, but if you believe Craig Breslow, when they spoke on the phone, it was a destination that he wanted to be at. And so I guess that's good news that
I think it's all like good news with it. There's no, I ultimately think they'll pay this kid. You know what I mean? I think
you have him cheap for 2 years.
Right.
So then that's a good thing.
Yep.
And then you think they're going to pay him afterwards.
He's only 25 years old.
I know Tommy John surgery has come a long way, but does it worry you at all that he's already had it at 25? He had it 2022, had Tommy John surgery. He bounced back nicely, but that's the only thing when looking at this guy's resume that I say, well, that's something to keep an eye
on. Didn't Evaldi have it like four times?
Yeah, and honestly, now it's good that it's over with. It's like your wisdom teeth. It's like, okay, you already had it.
Right.
Now you're good. It's so common, and people are almost better after it.
Right. Okay. You kind of got to look at it in that way.
Yeah.
I think when you start to look at where the Red Sox have struggled in the past couple of years, it's been with their pitching. You know, last year they were, you know, in many categories and hitting in top 10, and now you got a guy that is a legit ace, and like you said, Greg, if you can add a Corbin Burns, now you got two aces, and you know, and that's what wins you baseball games, and that's what wins you World Series. When the Red Sox were successful, don't get it twisted, they still had great hitting, but they always had, you know, top end pitching at their rotation.
How long are you here for today?
Till about 7:30. We're hoping to get some of the news in, if not all. I could probably stretch it to 7:40, but got to be at the courthouse for 8:30.
Okay.
Hopefully it ends today.
Can we get any insight?
Wait a minute. That sounds a little biased. Like almost like you've already determined what the verdict is.
No.
And you're going to rush this through.
No.
So you can get back here or get to the weekend.
No.
That doesn't sound like the way the American judicial system is supposed to work.
Nope.
Hopefully, what some man or woman's life, their freedom is hanging in the balance. And you're saying, hope we can get this thing out of the way today?
Well, we were told that we were ahead of schedule, so I'm just hoping that today we could start deliberating.
Okay.
So that we can...
deliberating. Will you have final arguments today?
I do not know.
Okay.
We haven't heard all the evidence. I know that. So.
Oh, there's evidence out there still?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could be a last-minute dramatic entry by a defense attorney or something.
I have no idea.
Kind of will
there be a glove?
I am so looking forward for it to be over, though, so we can just chitty-chat about it.
I see.
You know?
Your lips are sealed.
Yeah.
You don't want to say anything at all. All right.
Will you give us the first interview?
Well, it sounds like a boring case.
Because
if you wanted it to be over that quickly so you could talk about it.
I want it to be over because waking up at 3:45 and then going all day till about 5 p.m. is a very long day.
You got to go to 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah. This is Jeff from Watertown. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing? First of all, Heim Bloom had very little to do with this. I mean, I know some of these guys they traded were Heim Bloom's players, but the fact that that Dombrowski had the guys to get the team to the point now where you can make these moves is great. The other thing that excites me is the one guy, the one prospect I thought they might protect is Teal just because of the position he plays. They have to trade these lefties. They have to get rid of some guys. They have to cull the herd. They have to make some decisions. There's going to be more trades because they have to make more trades. So in the end, I don't care. I mean, I want them to spend money, but if we have a championship team, I don't care if it's you know, through trades or through money or whatever, as long as we have a championship team. This is a big boy move. This is something Chaim Bloom could not do. He could not make a big trade. You know, this is nothing but positive.
Yeah. No, you basically ended up being able to, through a trade, because of the prospects that you had, you were able to grab the what many considered to be the golden dong that remained when it came to those who might be available pitcher-wise. So that is good news, I think. On the show this morning, we are going to get to our leads in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, around 6:25, and we got to get them all in because Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, will be on in a half an hour at 6:45, and we will certainly talk to Bill O'Brien about the other big piece of news this morning and the way it went yesterday when it was determined that Bill Belichick will indeed be coaching in college football.
Wow.
So
I'm excited.
You are excited?
Yeah, I've always loved college football, and I just think getting a guy like that into the ACC, I always think that ACC teams are overlooked, as they should be, because their schedules aren't as difficult and their records aren't as good as the SEC, but Bill Belichick being the UNC Tar Heels' new head coach is like such a win for those kids. I just can't imagine having my son be on a team like that, knowing that he's in the hands of Bill Belichick. I think it's so cool.
I mean, there are a lot that are saying that for the kids, it will be the exact opposite. Wiggy was saying this, and so there are a lot of guys, or some guys, mm-hmm. who played for Bill Belichick, who are weighing in and saying there's no way that his style of coaching flies when it comes to today's college athlete.
I try to tell you that, but everybody's like, well, that's Bill Belichick. He'll sit down and
I don't agree with
that. I think football fan parents will be like, oh, my God, I want my kid to play for Bill. But you got to look at your kid and you go, is my kid built mentally tough enough to play for a guy like Bill? Because Bill's not going to sit there, and if the kid – look at the Florida kid. I don't know if you've seen the defensive end outside linebacker from Florida. Goes to them and says, I want $45,000 guaranteed a month. I want a starting position guaranteed a month. I want to be guaranteed I'm going to be on the field on third downs. And goes to the Florida Gators and says this, and he's one of their better players last year. And they're like, are you serious? So can you imagine?
So what did they end up doing? They didn't do it.
He jumped in the portal.
Okay, fine.
Then right, but that's what I mean. You're going to – but if you look at Bill's career as a professional coach, greatest coach I've been around, motivator, all those things. But a lot of – you know, he is very successful with just lunch pail guys. Guys that – know they got to fight every day for every little scrap.
Which is so good for a team like UNC. He's not going to an Alabama. Right. He's not going to an LSU. He's not going to Ohio State. He's going to a UNC, an ACC team, and he's going to be with a bunch of guys that are going to have to fight day in, day out to make it to the league.
But the difference is that, like, when I was fighting in the NFL, or Julian Edelman was fighting in the NFL, or some of these other guys, Malcolm Butler, were fighting in the NFL, we knew if we didn't do what we were supposed to do, there was no other. We couldn't jump in the portal and go to another team. Some of these kids, they're like, I'm not fighting. You know what I'll do? I'll jump in the portal and go elsewhere. So there's that safety net to fall back on. So I think Bill does a good job, but he's going to have to really find the kids that are the ones that really are willing to grind it out. I mean, that's just from where I see him as a coach.
Next generation has a lot of grinders, I'll tell you that.
No, I mean, but you're going to need it. Like, we talked about him coaching in the pros, Greg.
This is just the most unbelievable conclusion. In a bazillion years, nobody in their right mind, Tom Brady was openly mocking this less than a week ago.
Right.
Happy Brady Day, 12-12. And it is just so perfect that his first hire is this stooge, Mike Lombardi. And that's what it is. For Robert, it was about polite kiss ass over talent when it comes to a head coach. And for Bill Belichick, it's the same thing. I want people around me that are indebted to me, that will never question me, that will never take my job. And the irony of it all is that one of those guys end up backstabbing him when he ended his career with the Patriots in Gerard Mayo. So I find this to be shocking. And the story from Jeremy Fowler last night at ESPN, the sense from NFL owners, the owners' meetings, is that Belichick simply didn't garner NFL interest in this cycle as a head coach. And that's why.
Well, and it seems like he was somewhat stubborn when it came to wanting most or all of the control. And there are just guys who are not, guys who own those teams who aren't going to give him that. So
yeah, I think it's changed in that aspect.
I'm assuming he was unwilling to just go somewhere and be a head coach.
Yeah, and I have no problem with him bringing his, because like I said before,
Does it pain you when I suggest that, Curtis?
Yes.
Suggest what?
That's the reason why, is because you didn't think he even got a phone call from anybody.
Well, no, that's what I just described is what you said. That's inflexibility, that you're going to bring all these stooges with you because you're going to make everybody in the building indebted to you.
Yeah.
So you would have all the power and nobody else would be able to, you know, have a say. And NFL owners saw how it finished here. And they didn't want to do that for 3 years.
And they probably look at it like you don't need to have one guy who has all the power because look at Andy Reid. We can do it like that. So,
well, there's a lot to get to this morning, and we certainly want you to be a part of it. So you can call 617-779-7937 if you'd like to be on over the next 3 hours, 45 minutes. That is the same number. That's the new text line as well, the new Subaru of New England text line. So send your text to 617-779-7937 as well. Leeds coming up, Bill O'Brien at 6:45. And then we will get to Courtney in today's news before she has to go off to jury duty at 7:20. That means we will get to They Said It probably around 7:45 on this morning show, and the 12 days of Chris Curtismas at 8:45, and Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday at 9 on this morning show. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending first thing?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins Thursday here.
Well, yes, the big news. Bill Belichick is the new head coach of the University of Carolina Tar Heels, a five-year deal for him. Bill released a statement saying, quote, "I am excited for the opportunity at UNC Chapel Hill. I grew up around college football with my dad and treasured those times. I have always wanted to coach in college, and now I look forward to building the football program at Chapel Hill." Bill's dad was an assistant coach at UNC from 1953 to 1955.
A couple different reports out there on length of deal and speculation about the money. I've seen 3 years, and I've seen 5 years.
The right. UNC Board of Trustees announced five years.
Okay, 5 years and $10 million a year. Is that accurate?
I haven't seen money.
Yeah, I have not seen money. I assume since the 330 was wrong, it may not be $10 million a year. Unsure on money.
Okay. And like Curtis said, he is bringing Mike Lombardi with him as GM of the football program. The Red Sox traded for Garrett Crochet, sending four top prospects to the White Sox for the pitcher. The 2020 first-round pick is 25 years old. The Bruins are back in action tonight on the road. They're in Seattle to take on the Kraken. Puck drop at 10. The Celtics have the Pistons at the TD Garden tonight. Tip is at 7:30. And Thursday Night Football, we'll see the Rams at the Niners. Kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that here on WEEI. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 35 degrees. Feels like 20, though. Windy and cold in Boston. Afternoon high.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mid-40s.
Shine. Great one to start with. The other Elvis gets me in an up mood this morning. I was already in an up mood because Bill Belichick has finally returned to coaching. And so I was already in a good mood. And, of course, the Red Sox are wheeling and dealing left and right. So these kinds of things put me in a good mood on a Thursday. It's a Bruins Thursday. Bruins do not put me in a good mood. But we will talk to Mike Milbury about the Boston Bruins coming up at 9 on this morning show. Right before that, Curtis is regifting. And he's been regifting all holiday season. So be listening at 8:45. 12 days of Chris Curtismas, and Curtis has some. I haven't looked at what you got today yet.
So good today.
Yeah, really?
Oh. I want to win this one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I actually have a couple field passes for NFL games for Bill if he wants them. Mm. That'll be part of it.
I could. I was surprised yesterday. I received, and I'm going to be like Wiggy, I received a beautiful gift from the Boston Red Sox.
Oh.
And I will tell you, you know, not the biggest baseball guy. Ken mm-hmm. Laird and Curtis are the base Mr. Baseballs of this radio station.
Seamheads.
And Bradfo and Lou.
Right.
So I may, if you want, add that to the re-gift list this morning, Curtis.
I can't wait. Honestly, it's going to be these have been fun. I feel like people are legitimately happy. We have decent prizes.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, the ink-filled pen. And the best thing in life, low expectations.
Yeah.
Your wheeling and dealing comment makes a lot more sense now.
yeah. No, they can't buy me.
Well,
I cannot be bought.
They could.
They've tried.
Let's be clear. I cannot be bought. If I say it as I see it, Wiggy. You know how that goes.
That's it.
Greg, I have a question.
Like you see it.
What was a better investment, Apple in the 80s or the sweatshirt for Wiggy?
It was the bag of merch.
Hey, I just call Sam like I see it.
Sam Kennedy gave the guy, first of all, the guy's a former professional athlete, mm-hmm. played for years in the NFL.
Yes.
Made $10 million coaching over at Brockton, if I remember. I who knew he could be bought off with a simple bag of Red Sox merch at spring training?
We all got merch from them. Yeah. I call it like I see it.
Okay.
I call it like I see
Wick
it.
Wick really screwed himself when he didn't get you that city jersey you were asking for.
I always big up the Celtics. The criticism towards the Red Sox, though, it's a lot of it is manufactured. Let's be honest.
All right. Well, anyway, we are going to talk to Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, in 15 minutes about Bill Belichick and his return to coaching in college football. It'll be so interesting to hear what Bill O'Brien says about that coming up in 15 minutes. Right now, this
is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Time for me and probably for Wiggy. It seems like just yesterday that Tawny Kitaen was writhing on the hood of some kind of muscle car.
Yeah, IROC-C on Z28 something.
Great car, IROC-C.
In a White Snake video. Oh. And so, but it wasn't just yesterday. It was a long, long time ago. Good one, Chime. Good morning. Hello.
Thank you. That was a long distance dedication to my guy, Bill.
Oh. You play a lot of requests for Bill, I've noticed. Didn't you just play one the other day for him?
Yeah, of course.
Well, spread it among the people. You can't favor one listener.
You know, Bill is a really important figure in this city and in the history of the sports and the lore of Boston. So, you know, he deserves it.
Really?
Yeah, as much as Curtis may rail against him and hate him, it's fine. He deserves it. He deserves some praise and
adulation. I think you made it out like it was a Twitch person named Bill.
You're talking about Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about. Right. You're thinking of Billy, the guy sent it us on yesterday.
Yes.
No, this was Bill Belichick.
Oh, okay. All right. So here he goes again. He's coaching again.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Your lead? Is that your lead?
No. My lead this morning, Greg, non-sports lead for you. So my dog, Henry, has to get some dental work done on Monday.
Okay, so like me?
Yep, just similar to you.
Is he a dental phobe like I am?
No, he's actually really good with the doctors because he can be bribed with cheese and pepperonis very easily.
That's how they got Greg to the dentist.
It's true.
Yeah, I do think Dr. Wu should have food available. Like when you go to the dentist and you have to deal with whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. the cleaning or mm-hmm. the grinding or the wisdom teeth. They should have food afterwards. But go ahead. Yes.
So I would just like to
food right after a clean.
Yes, Curtis. Think about it. Like, you finish, you go through it. Nobody likes to go to the dentist.
Yeah.
Right.
So you finish, you get everything done.
Mm-hmm.
Some gummy bears.
It would be nice if you... It would be,
gum.
It would be nice. No, it could be healthy. I don't care if it's
ooh, that's some bubblicious.
But, like, the last thing I want to do is chew after getting my teeth done.
So maybe it's like a crudité with some hummus or something like that. I don't care. Just
an
something.
Apple. Those keep the doctor away.
When you get your wisdom tooth out, it's going to be painful. Huh? I mean, your wisdom tooth is hanging on by a string right now.
Oh, it sucks. And I have to have the wisdom tooth and the molar that is pushing out of the way yanked out. And then Lindsay was telling me that I can't even use a straw during that period of time because the straw might dislodge the whatever it is where your wisdom tooth, like
I believe Courtney explained this very thing to us.
Yeah. Dry socket.
And then I said, what about dipping? And she said, you probably can't. So it's for like 10 days or something. Wow. I'm going to have to go without chewing tobacco. I don't know if I can do that.
And you could have a liquid diet.
I'm fine with a liquid diet.
The biggest thing, I'm an ass of myself, don't have anything acidic for like 4 days. Because that, the acid in all the open wounds is the worst feeling in the world.
Don't make it worse.
Oh, it's honestly not that bad. Like, it was, my sister had it and she was like, out of it for a week, and then when I had it, they had all these new medicines, and they got rid of the swelling. It was actually in and out. Boom, you're fine.
Oh, yeah. I had a very, very bad time with it. But I had four impacted, so you only have one.
No, I just have to have the one because it's going sideways, pushing the molar, so the molar is loose.
All but right. if you have three others, why not just get them all out when you're getting the one?
I don't.
That's
the only one I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's good.
Also, surgery at my age is risky.
It really is.
I will be making sure that my affairs are in order before I allow Dr. Wu to go in there with the pliers and yank those babies out. All right, Chime, anyway, go ahead.
So Henry has to get some dental work done on Monday, and they believe he might have a fractured tooth.
Oh.
Now, the doctor can't figure out exactly how it happened yet, so we don't know, because of the insurance companies, if it'll be covered or not. Because apparently, it only gets covered if it's, like, accidental. So if he was chewing on a bone or something like that and it breaks, then it's covered. But if it's due to periodontal disease, not covered at all.
What's the point of that? So you have pet insurance?
Yes. Oh, we pay over $100 a month for pet insurance.
Can I ask, because I hear this all the time from people, that pet insurance doesn't cover virtually anything that you need done? Like,
It's something really, really bad, and then, you know, it's
insane. Really only the emergency services. So, like, if something, like, horrible happens to your dog, you need to go, like, in the middle of the night to the to a surgeon or a doctor, then it's covered.
So what a scam. But, like, what's the point of getting it?
Yeah, like, I had to bring him yesterday for just pre-op blood work, $230 out of the pocket.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's a lot.
Ooh, I will say this. When Pudge was really sick and then when he passed, it was almost entirely covered and it was thousands and thousands of dollars.
So it was.
So we were like, paid a ton for a very long time and it was a pain in the ass because as Shime is perfectly describing the case, it wasn't really covered. But in the end, it was one thing that was less of a stressor after he passed was that it was all... I mean, it's the biggest pain in the ass to do all this stuff. You have to like... get all these scanned documents, get all this stuff, but...
And the doctor can't even look at the tooth until he's actually under anesthesia, which is the most expensive part anyways. So, like, we don't even know if it'll be covered until after it's done.
How much does pet insurance cost you a year?
A year? So probably around $1,300 year.
And this procedure is going to be...
like $3,000.
Damn.
Jeez. That is nuts.
Well, the anesthesia alone, to put him under, is anywhere from like $700 to $1,300.
Does he have a problem chewing? Like, do you notice any?
No. So every once in a while,
chew with the.
Well,
what
happens is sometimes he just starts like drooling, and it's almost uncontrollable.
Same.
Yeah. But normally it's when they bring out the tomato mozzarellas or whatever.
They call it his basic brunch face.
Right, they call that old age.
It's just health insurance is so tough, man. Like, it's brutal out there.
Maybe the way, because we all know this, when it comes to dogs, there are a lot of people who now treat their dog like their child.
Yes.
Maybe you should just be able to add your dog to your work insurance.
Agreed.
That'd be great.
Have you seen Odyssey's work insurance?
Like,
you'd be in favor of
when
that?
When my alarm went off this morning, Harry's head was on my silk pillowcase in between me and Santo. So, he deserves it.
By the way, as long as we're talking about this, I don't know if he's listening or not, but today is Bullet's birthday.
Happy birthday, Bullet. Yeah,
Bullet is 2 years old today, so I gave him a little birthday kiss on the way out this morning.
Huge whiff by Lindsay. He's born on 12-12, and it's with a B, and it's Bullet, not Brady.
Right? He should have been named Brady, 100%. All right, Shime, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you think that the guy in upstate New York had pet insurance for Peanut?
I bet Peanut was insured.
You think Peanut
can you get insurance on squirrels?
Probably.
Definitely.
Ask Danielle. Danielle can tell you. All right, Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. We head to Fall River, which, by the way, most underrated moment of 2024, I think, would be our trip down there to the Seagull.
Tipsy Seagull. What a show that was.
Yeah. The best.
Awesome. Just an unbelievable place.
I know we have Greg Hill's show Wrapped available.
Yes.
Which we will debut today. And figure out who took the most flex time and all that. Are we going to do like best moments of 2024 or something next week? Maybe we should do that.
I would love that.
Sure.
It was great. So many of you came out to that broadcast, and Wiggy and Courtney got on the boat and almost died.
We risked our lives. Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
All right.
So we head to Fall River for my lead today, and there is a gentleman who was evading police officers who were conducting a raid of a home on Canal Street in Fall River. They knocked on the front door, and they saw two men fleeing the home via the roof.
Mm.
One leapt off the roof, while the other, Robert Langelis, hopped down the chimney in a maneuver seemingly inspired by Santa Claus. One man invoked the essence of the seasonal icon and attempted to hide inside the chimney, police said in a statement. He quickly became stuck in the chimney, required the assistance of the very detectives he was previously fleeing. Body cam footage shared by the police department shows the moment the responding police officer scaled the roof and confronted Langelis, who was deep in the chimney. The officer is heard screaming, "You're an idiot! Get me out of here, bro!" Langelis pleaded with the same cops he tried to evade, according to the footage. He is under arrest has been charged.
Oh, good.
So,
all right.
Merry Christmas from the lovely town of Fall River.
Merry Christmas. And
classic.
A new Hallmark movie on this debuts at noon today. Anyway, he fell in love with a random person that lived in the home and was enjoying a roaring Yule log at the time.
We all will stipulate that police officers are not perfect. There are bad cops, just like there are bad everything. But by and large, they deal with these a-holes all the time. So if you see them, you know, maybe just say thank you. Like they have a headache all the time.
I don't buy this argument in the Twitch chat that I am worse than Bill Belichick. Like, this person is saying, I've never kissed the dog on the way out, but I'm doing it for my lady friend. Like, Bill is posing in Christmas stroll pictures on Nantucket. That is not the case.
You had a dog before.
Yeah. Kobe Wobey, right?
Yeah, I had a dog before, right. So it has.
You never mentioned his birthday, to be fair.
No, that is true.
Yes.
I don't. I should probably.
We don't hear much about him no more, though.
Well, he doesn't live with me.
He lives
with Jen.
Oh, he doesn't. So, you don't get him at all.
Well, I see him.
He's a good boy.
He went to New Jersey with us, and I saw him.
Okay,
every other weekend.
I got to hang out with him. He's unfortunately losing some of his eyesight. Kobe Wobey, which is sad.
As are you. I'm worried about the orb you saw earlier.
No. I have like once every 3 years, I start to get a migraine, which happened this morning, where I have this orb. Like floating orb, not like the UFOs in New Jersey, but
that
like,
you see?
I see it in front
like
of my
floaters?
Eyes.
Oh, wow.
That's
not good.
Floater. A different kind of floater than the one you get in the Bahamas. But yeah, so if I take like 3 Advil, as soon as I see it, I'm fine, which I think I did this morning. I think I avoided a migraine.
Okay. Do not WebMD this because I did, and it was scary.
Are you already WebMD'd my thing?
Well, yeah.
Oh,
I want to be prepared if anything were to happen. And
I'm not in danger of the end. All right. So this is the problem. We're going to have to get to the rest of the leads at 7 because Bill O'Brien will join us next. And we will talk to Bill O'Brien about his former coworker, Bill Belichick, entering college football next.
The head coach of Boston College football, Bill O'Brien, joining us now, brought to you by Time Out Market, showcasing the best of Boston under one roof. Bill, anything of note happening in college football that we could talk about this morning?
No, it's a pretty it's a pretty bland day here in Boston. Pretty bland day.
Has this news about Bill Belichick surprised you?
No, I don't think so. You know, Bill is a Bill's a football coach. He's a football coach at heart, and you know, I think that when you look at the landscape of where we're at, you know, I don't want to speak for him at all, but you know, he had a great opportunity, and in his opinion, and he went for it, and you know, I think, you know, when you look at college football, I think it's great for college football. I would also say it's great for the ACC. You know, this narrative out there that the ACC is third and all this other stuff. I mean, here's Bill Belichick taking a job in the ACC. So I'd say it's good for college football. It's good for the ACC.
Well, are you surprised if there were not any NFL offers that were available when it came to Bill?
No, not at all. You know, one of the things about the NFL, I think I've said this to you guys before, and regardless of who you are, obviously him being, you know, in my opinion, the greatest coach of all time in the NFL. I mean, it's still the power structure in the NFL and most organizations is, you know, it's different. And in college, you know, you certainly have people you need to answer to as a coach. There's no doubt about it, but you can, in many ways, you can set up the program in your own vision and not have to get it approved by, you know, let's just call it a partner, GM partner, whatever it is. You can get it, you know, the way that you feel like you need to get it to be successful, and I'm sure he saw it that way.
Ross Tucker on this radio station the other day said that Bill will be a horrible college coach, essentially because his, I think he called it, his negative style of coaching won't resonate with college players. Wiggy's been saying that you can't coach these guys the way you can coach guys in the NFL or you could coach guys in the NFL. I know you may have experienced that so far when it comes to your experience at BC. Do you think that's going to be an issue for Bill?
I don't see it that way. I think that, you know, I tell these guys at BC, if you take four classes or five classes, this is your fifth or sixth class. So in many ways, as a head coach, you're a teacher. And so I think that one of the things that Bill is he's a great teacher, right? So I think he'll and Greg, like, and I think Wig would agree with this. He's a very, very bright guy, right? So he's going to be able to adapt to his surroundings and things like that. But I think in the end we're teachers, right? So we have to adapt to who we're teaching, and you know, I'm sure he'll be able to do that.
Bill, the one thing that I look at is how does he, or maybe how do you, and then how will he deal with guys, because you see it all the time. You know, Florida just had a kid and Jack Pyburn who went in and says, here's my demands for next season or I'm transferring. And that's what it seems like a lot of these college kids are doing.
I think in the end, Wig, I really want to answer this the right way. I think in the end, you know, I'll give you the example of Boston College right now. So far, we have not lost one guy that we really, you know, wanted back on this team. And the reason for that is honesty. You know, to be able to look a guy in the eye and just say, hey, look, man, we're not going to be able to fulfill those demands, or, you know, hey, look, here's what we can do for you relative to school, football, and NIL. And if you don't like it, there's the door. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, football is a team sport. It will never go away from that. There is obviously some individuality in football relative to pro football and college football. But in the end, it's a team sport. And if you preach the team and you set it up the way that you really believe in, I believe you can succeed. Now, time will tell, Wig. Time will tell. But if a guy came into me and had a bunch of demands, I'd be honest with you, Wig. I don't care, like, where he was on the depth chart. I would say, there's the door, and take care. Good luck to you. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I approach it. I'm not saying Bill will approach it that way, but I don't really put up with a lot of demands at Boston College.
Someday, probably not on the radio, when we're out together or something in person, you're going to tell me what Tommy Castellanos did to you.
Oh, my God.
He didn't do anything.
That's the problem. Hey Billy, did Bill call you at all and seek your counsel before he signed on to be the Tar Heels head coach?
No, he didn't, curse. I owe a lot to Bill. You know, he hired me at the Patriots and promoted me, taught me a ton. But I'm not as close to Bill as, you know, Matty P or some of the other guys. I'm not. He texted me after the Syracuse game. He texted me after the Florida State game. Hey, great win, things like that. But no, you know, I have great respect for Bill, and I owe a lot to Bill. He taught me a lot about the game, but we're not talking on the phone every day.
To be fair, Billy, I don't think it's physically possible to be closer to Bill than Matty P.
Keep an eye on Bears.
Yeah, Bears is pretty close.
Has Bears told you that he's staying with you, or is he going back to Bill?
All I can tell you is Bears is the best, and he's been a huge asset to us here at Boston College, and hopefully he's here for a long time.
I hope so, too. But, Bill, we talk a lot about the college player right now and how they don't really care about what you've done in the past, whether you're Bill Belichick, whether you're Bill O'Brien. Do you feel that way, or do you feel like Bill Belichick going to UNC, the parents, the players, are going to look at that as such a plus of a Super Bowl winning coach, one of the greatest coaches of all time, being able to coach your child or you personally?
I think that's a great question. I really think that what it still comes down to, you know, whether it's pro or college, but especially in colleges, you know, the relationships that you have with the people in the organization, right? The players mainly, the players' families. You know, I'll give you an example. We just had a guy who had to have knee surgery, and you know, in the pros, you wouldn't be on the phone with his parents, right? You would not be talking to this guy's mom about knee surgery. Like, that's not. But in college football, you know, I'm on the phone, you know, two or three times with this guy's mom, you know, talking her through the process, right? Okay, here he's in the pre-op stage right now. Then he's going to get surgery at this time. Then here's how it's going to work when he's out of surgery. He's coming to health services at Boston College. Like, there's a level of care as the head coach in college that you have to have. You know, that was the one thing too, when I was at Alabama, you know, Nick Saban and his wife, Terry Saban, they poured their heart and soul into that program. And I think that's really, you know, what it is as the head coach. You are pouring into this program because you want what's best for the kids. And, you know, at the same time, you want to win. And that's what we try to do here. So it's really about, in my opinion, the relationships with the players and their families.
One of the arguments against Bill being successful that I've heard the last 24 hours is, I'll call it the grind, you know, the dealing with boosters, dealing with donors, making recruiting trips. Is, for you, has college, being a head football coach in college, has that been more of a grind than it was in the NFL?
Not really. The people that I deal with at BC, and I think too, like, I'll go back to this. These are really good questions because it's making me think about what really why I took this job. You know, it's about the fit, right? So I'm a good fit at BC. So when I talk to, you know, the donors at BC, or I talk to the administrators or the people here at BC, I don't want to go down a list of names, but Greg, you guys know Courtney, Curtis, you know who the big people here are. They're great people. I fit with them. I'm from Boston, or I'm from Massachusetts. A lot of them are. They really want to see BC as a winner. They believe in BC. I believe in BC. So I think it's about the fit. I think so. For Bill, you know, it'll be, you know, who he's dealing with and things like that. It's, in the end, it's a good question for him. But I enjoy the people I deal with here. You know, whether it's calling a guy, hey, can you make a donation, or it's just checking in with somebody. You know, like, there's a guy here named Dr. Jerry Healy. You know, this guy is one of the best guys ever. Somebody that texts me after every single game, or, you know, we have lunch every once in a while. He's just a great Boston guy, Boston Children's Hospital doctor, was a legendary doctor there. That's the example of who I, you know, deal with a lot. And so they're great people here at BC to deal with.
Bill does, excuse me, I think that maybe his personality, Belichick's, could potentially help him because of the fact that one thing a lot of coaches don't do in college football is they're not open and honest with the athletes and, you know, especially the parents. Do you think that might be something that actually favors him in college football, is his honesty?
I think that's one of the main things that I learned from him. And so the answer would be yes. Like, you know, again, I try to give you guys some examples. Like, over the last 10 days, I've met with every kid on our team. And some guys come in here and say, like, hey, you know, what are the things I need to do to get better? You know, what are the things I need to do to maybe, you know, let's just call it earn a little bit more money? And I tell them, hey, man, like, this is the thing. You don't practice consistently, or, you know, here's some things you have to get better at relative to the weight room, or to develop more explosion, or, you know, to learn your plays better. You don't, you make a mistake, you know, once every four plays. Like, you know, we got to learn our plays better. You know, so being honest is the only way to go. It's the only way to go. You can't BS these guys. You got to tell them what it is. And so, you know, obviously, Bill.
Really appreciate your thoughts on Bill Belichick. It won't happen, I guess, this upcoming season, but at some point, the two of you will be across from each other on a college football field somewhere, which is pretty wild.
I don't think we play till. Somebody told me last night we don't play North Carolina till 2028.
Well, in the ACC title game.
Right.
I'm saying in the regular season.
Right,
in the regular
right,
season.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, at but, Chapel yeah. Hill.
Chapel Bill.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe we'll get the future schedules adjusted a little bit, and we can play them sooner than that in the regular season, but who knows?
Oh, how great would that be? The opener next year would have been Bill versus Billy. Oh,
yeah,
A+.
Great.
Thank you, guys.
One of the great defensive minds of our time up against one of the great offensive minds of our time. Oh, wait, Bill, are you still here? I didn't want you to hear that. I want to say that. I don't want to say that in front of you. All right.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm not here next Thursday, so Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that stuff. I really appreciate you being on the show, and it's you're one of the best interviews we have, and everybody always tells me it. So thanks a lot. We appreciate it, Bill O'Brien.
Merry Christmas to all you guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Bill O'Brien with his thoughts on Bill Belichick. Heading to Chapel Bill, as Curtis just said, and we will be back with the rest of our leads next.